And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What up?
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Good afternoon.
At DFF underscore Shane. And tonight we have a guest that'll be sitting in with us through the whole show and talking to us about the FFPC. Our guest is Eric Balkman, and you can find him on Twitter at Eric Balkman. How are you doing tonight?
Doing excellent. Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate this. You know, it's at this time of year that I feel like I'm so excited not to talk about Dynasty fantasy football because I've been doing it for like 5 months. But then, like, you know, right after the NFL draft, we kind of switched towards redraft. And now I'm kind of actually excited to talk a little Dynasty again because I've missed it the last few weeks.
Yeah, it works that way when there's all these gaps in the time when we're sitting around doing nothing for months at a time, you know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So what else for the listeners that are listening? What other things do you do?
Yeah, in addition to working for the FFPC, I am the host and producer of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. You can also listen to me interview various high stakes players on the RotoViz Radio High Stakes Lowdown as well. And that's it. You know, it's basically a very similar to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We have different high stakes players come on every single week, kind of give their two cents, not only on, you know, player analysis, but draft strategy and guys who have won, you know, five figures, six figures in prizes, you know, telling their secrets on the air, which is always good. I still have yet to cash a prize that big listening to them, but hopefully the listeners to both programs are able to glean more than I'm able to.
Wait, Eric, so are you actually allowed to play in FFPC leagues?
No. That's a big okay. No.
I was thinking Shane, what he said.
Yeah, no, I cannot do that. Like, I basically use the tips that I get from those players, you know, in a lot of private leagues that I play in, but nothing, you know, that I could, you know, be parlaying into like a $250,000 grand prize, unfortunately.
Well, we've actually been talking about it quite a lot on the show, and we were even mentioning the live stuff that happens in Vegas in September. Would you like to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. It's going to be exciting again. We'll be at Planet Hollywood on the Strip. It's going to be it'll be week one weekend of the NFL season. We have our live events going on out there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Not in addition to the live main event drafts, we'll have live best balls, live auctions. We have some live super bracket drafts out there as well. Our off the grid format, our high society leagues, our big payback leagues, a lot of different high stakes leagues that will be going on at Planet Hollywood. And then you can draft out there. And then we got some great deals for if you want to sit and watch week one in the sports book or restaurants or lounges out there. You can do that for cheap. For week one as well. So it's always a great time that's sort of like the culmination of draft season. And once you draft these guys and get them on your teams, you get to unwrap those shiny presents and see them in action on Sunday.
Well, before we get started tonight, you know, there's a couple news things that we wanted to talk about. Obviously, the big one that everybody's talking about is Hunter Henry.
Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian Hackenberg is like low on that list. I mean, the Hunter Henry one seems to be the one that was shaking up everybody in the Dynasty community right now.
Yeah, I need Eric to help me out. So I know he works for FFPC. I drafted Hunter Henry. So can you just give me a different player? That would be really a big help.
I'll grease the wheels on that and see what I can do for getting you a replacement tight end. Isn't it weird that we're living in an era where Christian Hackenberg has a better shot of playing in 2018 than Hunter Henry does, which is just crazy.
And it's funny because then we're going to jump around all over the place. Even the adding the Christian Hackenberg to the news thing was kind of funny to me. But Jeremy, what are you thinking about this now with Hunter Henry gone? What's happening to people with him on their teams and what are they going to do over there in the Chargers?
They're going to lose the people that have him on their teams because they spent a lot to get him. I think I have no idea what that team's going to do to replace him. I hope they have a backup option. I don't own Hunter Henry in many places. I think it was the cost to acquire him. You know, if I do have him where I got him as a rookie, but in startup drafts, I don't have him. in any of those that I recall. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I have other tight ends, though, so this one didn't hit me too hard. In one league, I lost him, and I think I have Njoku and a couple other young guys. What do you guys think?
I want to say screw you, first of all, because I literally just drafted him in a startup that ended last week. And what I did is I went out and just threw out trade offers to everyone in the league. And I was able to get Delanie Walker for 2019 second and a couple 2019 thirds. It's a 1 year patch over. I mean, right. What else are you going to do? It's not like you could sell them. There's no replacement in San Diego, Los Angeles, wherever they are, the Chargers. They have Virgil Green. That's it. I don't even know who else their tight ends are.
I think it's going to be a tight end that they work with out there. I have Tyrell Williams in a lot of places, and I think he's really undervalued. I love that player. I really think that they're going to use him in the middle of the field as much as they did in the past, which has been a pretty, you know, it's worked out well for him and us in fantasy, and it's worked out well for the team. And he works the seams, typically a lot of underneath routes, a slot receiver. I think that's where we're going to see some love. I have no idea, like you said, the tight ends there are uninspiring, but maybe Williams and Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, you know, maybe both of those are going to increase in value. That's what I'd bank on, is more wide receiver love there, but who knows?
Well, then why don't we go ahead and have Shane talk about his love child that he wrote here about Christian Hackenberg going to Oakland, even though he loves quarterbacks and every league should be super flex. So is that why you added it to the news?
Yeah, I think we added that before Hunter Henry tore his ACL when we had no other news.
It was literally the only news. It's funny, though, I mean, that he's that he would be news, because he's never done anything. He hasn't played in a game. Has he ever even come off the bench and played, like, in mop-up duty, anything? He's never played in an NFL game. And they only gave a seventh round, I think, conditional pick to get him out there. I really don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, what does Gruden, is he really taking the league back to 1998, like he said? Or does he have some magic formula that's going to shake out for fantasy football that we just don't know about? It doesn't seem like he's doing good things. I mean, there's jokes people have made, like, oh, wow. So if Carr gets hurt, man, they're going to replace him with Hackenberg. They're really, you know, it's like the same guy. I don't really see that. I mean, I don't think he's an even good backup. He's so inaccurate.
I see Eric shaking his head back and forth.
You know, I'm just thinking, like, offhand, because, you know, this is like a thing, like with Gruden taking the Raiders back to the future, essentially, like, you know, back in time to, you know, and I feel like 1998, that's probably when Hackenberg was like a five-star high school recruit. So this is probably like a genius buy for the Raiders, you know, getting this type of talent onto that team for a bargain basement price. So, I mean, now it all seems to make sense. You know, Gruden's just, he's getting a great deal here.
Well, when we talk about player value and everything like that, so are you going to go out there and try to get him in some of the dynasty leagues?
Or? No, no one's going out to get him. No one gives a shit, dude. It, seriously. David Carr could get hit by a fucking plane and it wouldn't matter.
Or even Derek, his younger Carr, brother, Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Yeah. Well, David Carr would play before Christian Hackenberg.
You're right.
And that's a big thing coming from Shane, who's all about Superflex. So, Eric, one of the things that they wanted to talk about is Jeremy and Shane both have done an FFPC league with some of the listeners, and they're going to be writing articles about it too. And both of them wanted to go over their rosters with you to see how you felt about their drafts.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. I don't, you know, again, I don't know what authority I am on this, but I can give you my honest thoughts, and I'm sure I'll have some questions for you guys as well.
So I don't want to go through my whole roster. I got Mariota at quarterback, Chubb, Kerryon Johnson at running back. I went extremely young at wide receiver. I went DJ Moore, Brandon Cooks, Anthony Miller, Amari Cooper. Hey, there's Hunter Henry. and then a kicker and a defense, because, you know, you had to. And my bench is extremely not good. Yeah, the more I look at this team, I got Cortland Sutton, Albert Wilson, Ty Montgomery. I timed out and got Ito Smith. So that's one thing. How come FFPC clock doesn't turn off overnight?
Oh, well, you know, listen, that's way above my pay grade. So you are asking the wrong guy for that. But I will say this. I think, you know, part of the reason that, you're unsure of how good this team is because it is so youthful. There's so many unknowns on this roster in the respect of so many rookies being out there that we just haven't seen on the NFL field yet. Now, we could look at this team in like week six or week seven and say, oh my gosh, DJ Moore is a stud. Kerryon Johnson's getting like 70% of the touches in Detroit. Carlos Hyde looks awful. Nick Chubb looks like the man. Anthony Miller's catching a zillion passes from the slot. And you could actually look at this team and be like, oh wow, this is actually a really good team. And now it's set up for, you know, 4 years, 5 years. You know, all these guys should be, you know, locked and loaded if it works out that way. The one guy I did want to ask you about, just curious, because this is a guy that we talk about on the High Stakes Fantasy Footballer a lot, is Brandon Cooks. He's very young. There's no doubting his talent. My question is, going to the Rams, where they have Cooper Kupp coming off a big rookie year, Robert Woods coming off a good year, they have the two tight ends there that obviously, well, and again, that was the old administration there that brought them in. But you look at what Todd Gurley was able to do. How does Cooks fit in to that passing game? Because now he's on his third team, essentially, in 3 years. And I'm just wondering what kind of dynasty value he holds right now, because he's still being, by FFPC players, he's still being chosen very high.
Yeah, I think we're... Well, I'll just speak for me. I don't know what other people think, because other people are just crazy. We've seen him be able to move from one team to another last season and still do what he does. I mean, you know, he's a little boomer bust, but he's still able to put up a lot of yards on not a lot of targets. That's probably the same situation that he's going to have to perform in LA. Like you mentioned, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, even though they're not that good, they have Jared Goff's trust, which is sometimes more important than talent. The hope is that they trade it for Cooks, and it's not going to be a Sammy Watkins situation where it's a 1 year rental, that they're going to lock him in there and that he will be that number one target. But he'll never probably lead the team in targets, but he can perform on less targets. Robert Woods is the one that would need a ton of targets, and Cooper Kupp's need a lot of targets. You get Brandon Cooks 5, 6, 7 targets a game, and he's gold. Although I said the same thing about Sammy Watkins last year, and I don't think he saw that more than 4 times.
So the other thing I'll just interject this right away, as long as we're talking about receivers on your team. Amari Cooper is a guy that I think is a real good buy low right now. And I've tried to buy him low because I figure, okay, you know, everybody saw what happened last year. They're going to be willing to part with him for less than market value. No, I. So apparently everybody is thinking that 2018 is the year of Cooper.
Yeah, it Cooper is a polarizing player. He is literally, no one thinks he's just okay. Everyone either thinks he is the second coming, or he is the most overrated football that's ever played football. And I happen to fall into, he's one of the greatest wide receivers that's ever played the game. So
yeah, tell Eric where you have him in your dynasty standings.
It's high. He's like my fourth wide receiver at worst. Dude, he's still
Michael Crabtree on that ranking.
He is not even 25 years old. He's got two top 24 seasons, and he even has a bust season thrown in there for good measure when he was playing on an injured foot, mind you, very bad foot. Not many players could have played on that foot, according to one of the Carr brothers.
Yeah, maybe both of them. David might have even said the same thing about Cooper too. I know, yeah. Derek did.
I think they all did.
I mean, like, kidding aside, Amari Cooper, like you said, not 25 yet, has a very young, talented quarterback throwing to him. I mean, these are all things that we look at when we look at dynasty wide receivers, you know, on the upswing. And based on what Cooper has, the talent, the surroundings, he should be a receiver on the upswing right now. I mean, he really should be.
Only thing that's ever really been a problem is the cost to acquire him, because people pay like that wide receiver one price, get a wide receiver two. Now, maybe they can break even if he is and can maintain that wide receiver one status. I think what they're going to do with him this year is going to elevate him to his potential. I don't know what that is, but I think I see him getting better, being better and more consistent than he's been in the past. And well, all he needs is a touchdowns to really put him up into that wide receiver one territory, is catch some touchdown passes.
Well, and Gruden's talked about, you know, moving him around and not just keeping him on one side of the field and using him in the slot, which for whatever reason, Jack Del Rio seemed to be vehemently against, except for the
they call
two
that
big
intelligence.
Games.
Yeah, I think it's.
Well, I mean, Cooper. Yeah, there you go. Cooper had two monster games last year, and you know, majority of his targets were out of the slot. So we'll see. Gruden's been talking him up, even comparing them to, because he's again comparing everything to the early '90s to Timmy Brown.
Well, you know, one thing with us doing the ADP mocks for the site for Dynasty Football Factory, going back to Brandon Cooks, when you were saying about his value, I just went and looked at the last four mocks over the last 2 weeks, and every single week Cooks has dropped again and again and again. Nice. And even right now, he's all the way down into the fourth round now, where he was up higher. And because you were just mentioning Cooper, I looked at that too. And he's done the same thing too, Shane. Cooper is now all the way down into the middle of the third round on this last one. So
now that's a good price.
So
that's insane.
Yeah, in the first two, the other two last week, he went in the second round, but in this one, he went in the third round. And you're in this draft as well. So
it, I am?
Yeah. So I'm just saying. So some of these guys that you like and we like, you know, you can get them for a good value in these startups because people just don't trust them.
Dude, I don't believe mock drafts. Mock drafts, I mean, I understand the basis for them, but it's still, there's something different when you're really pulling the trigger as opposed to, I'll take this guy here.
Yeah, I'll just take whatever guy I want at every spot, guys I like.
Well, that is true. But, I mean, when you only have that data to look at right now, it goes along with the question that Eric asked.
But I don't have just that data. I have Eric telling me that he's a good player.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I'm just going, but I'll tell you this. In FFPC startups right now, Cooper is actually, he has an ADP of the 212, and he's actually going right in front of guys like Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, AJ Green, Tyreek Hill. These are all guys going essentially, you know, in the first half of the third round right after Cooper. Cooks has actually slipped all the way to it being an early fourth round pick. Guys like Juju Smith-Schuster and Corey Davis are going in front of him. But I mean, these are guys that you know, they're still essentially top 40 choices, you know, in real FFPC dynasty draft. So I think that the ADP that you have is not all that off base than how these high stakes players are drafting them.
Yeah, exactly, Shane. I mean, it's almost exact. You almost said exactly what I just said. So when you say Shane,
it sounded better out coming from Eric. So
of course it did.
I agree.
Of course it did.
He'd sell his own mother up the river.
You
man.
Know. Shane and I can go back and forth on any of this stuff, so that's fine. So, Jeremy, did you want to discuss your team at all with Eric? Because you were shaking your head when I said that. I mean, it's on the show
the
sheet.
Only thing... Go ahead. Sorry, man.
No, I said it's on the show sheet. Do you want to discuss your team?
No, the only thing I want to discuss is that I really thought I did a bad job of this draft. I also timed out. It was my fault, though. It was actually
timed out in a draft?
Yeah, so did Shane. Well, we didn't realize that that it didn't time out at night, I think. I don't remember, but I had meetings one morning, and suddenly DeMarco Murray's on my roster, who's not even on an NFL team. So he got Ito Smith. I got DeMarco Murray. But reading Shane's article and then hearing him talk about his players now and just kind of, you know, I don't have my other laptop on. I'm just listening to his players. And then I pulled up my roster on my phone, and I actually like my team better than Shane's. And I mean, this was my first time doing one of these, but I got Mariota, Lamar Miller, Jordan Howard. These are starters. Antonio Brown, maybe Jarvis Landry, and flex Theo Riddick, Sammy Watkins. I'm not really sure, right? Those two probably at first. Rob Gronkowski, Dan Bailey, and the Philly defense. I don't think that's bad. Derek Carr is my backup quarterback, right? My alternate quarterback. And I got a bunch of nobodies at running back. I got Tavon Austin, Ito, or maybes and nobodies. Tavon Austin, Ito Smith, DeMarco Murray. Those are my backup running backs. In addition to maybe flexing Theo Riddick. And then I've got guys like Cortland Sutton and then cheap players like Kenny Stills, Tyler Lockett, Tyrell Williams as depth plays. And then backup tight ends, Kyle Rudolph and Austin Hooper.
How big is your roster?
I was going to say, that's huge. 20, 20.
Named like 37 players.
I don't have a second defense or a second kicker, though. So, and that is because I needed the depth at running back that I pushed it like that because I didn't have good, you know, beyond the top two, I got nobody.
So basically, we want Eric to be the judge of who's got the better roster right now.
And Eric was laughing because I think it was overwhelming to him as well.
There's a lot of guys. I'm like, oh, he's not so good. Oh, he's good. He's not so good. He's And then I lost track. I will say it's interesting because there's a dichotomy between the way that you guys attack these startups, because there's one team that's very, very youthful, very young, and we're not really sure how good it is yet. And then there's another team that, you know, it does have some young players on, but there's established guys. Jarvis Landry, Rob Gronkowski. We kind of know like what these players are at this point. And I honestly, and this is, you know, not necessarily a dynasty philosophy that I've done over the last few years, but really redraft and fantasy football in general, is I know I can't have an uber dominant roster everywhere. I can't have awesome quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends. I have to be weak at some place. And typically where I like to be weak at is my running back depth, because there's going to be guys that maybe don't have the pedigree of a stud, youthful wide receiver that I can build the team around, but guys that are going to have these golden opportunities because of injuries and what have you as the season goes on. And sometimes, that running back depth, that's the easiest thing to fill in during the season. So I don't think necessarily having, you know, some nobodies at running back is the worst thing in the world if you can have a good quarterback, some good tight end depth, and in a tight end premium format like this, and then have those receivers that you can build around. I think that that's a solid way to do it too.
Yeah, I like that philosophy with the running backs, because especially in dynasty, we forget that it is a week to week game once you get in the season. And every year there are running backs that go down, and there's a bunch of guys that are going to fill in from week to week that you're going to have to use your waivers for, just like you do in redraft. So we look at this, our rosters right now. There's probably five guys on my team that won't be on this team in week 7.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the philosophy I took with all my rookie drafts this year, where I was trying to trade up to get DJ Moore, because there wasn't a whole lot of depth at wide receiver, but there were so many running backs, and if you made the wrong choice, who knows? So I kind of went after those wide receivers. When you were saying that philosophy, do you think that with these high-stake players, especially since you do these shows with the high-stake players that you talk to, do they have a different philosophy on playing Dynasty than your average guy out there playing Dynasty, because there's so much money involved?
I don't think necessarily the money, I think, is like once you play at that level, it's I don't want to say it doesn't mean anything, but it takes a backseat into just running your teams properly. I think the biggest difference between private dynasty leagues or basement dynasty leagues and then the FFPC is that cut down level that we have every year, where you have to cut down to 16 players. So there's such an emphasis on getting those uber stud players, getting those upper echelon guys, because when it comes to cut down time, you don't necessarily want to have a deep balanced roster, because then chances are you're going to be cutting the wrong players.
Yeah.
You want to have like high end, super awesome talent at the top end of your roster. And then, you know, maybe some flyer guys that you keep, and if they hit, they hit. And if they don't, well, then you just cut them for other guys. But that's the biggest thing. I think that's the biggest difference between FFPC dynasty leagues. And there's a lot of people that say like, well, these are more keeper leagues than dynasty leagues, which you could certainly make that case. But I think that's the biggest difference is making sure that you don't necessarily, like if you play in a 20, like I play the dynasty leagues I'm in are usually 12 teams and then like 22 man, 24 man rosters. Well, then it behooves you to have a deeper, a roster, because you can keep all those guys. When you can only keep 16, it makes those choices more difficult. So I think that's the biggest difference.
Go ahead, Shane. No, going to say to you was that Shane has told us in the past that the dropout rate is very, very low, that you have guys in here that are doing these leagues and they stay in these leagues. Like, how long have you been doing the FFPC, and the fact that everybody sticks around, they must be happy with it.
The FFPC itself has been around since 2008, but we didn't start offering dynasty leagues till probably, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. And we've never had a league fold, which is really awesome. And for whatever reason, you know, it gets to be that time of the year where, you know, February, March, anybody who wants to list their teams for sale that, you know, and people say like, oh, these teams are awful that are being orphaned. And they're really not. I mean, the large majority of these leagues that are being orphaned is guys get married or guys have kids or, you know, like life gets in the way, right. And sure. They hate to give these teams up. That's the majority of them. So I think like when you have this network, this, you know, community of really good, passionate dynasty players, there's, you know, every so often you get a dog of a team, you know, because of injuries or what have you. But by and large, I mean, guys buy these teams. They like playing. They like managing these teams, see them to a championship. And if any of them ever get put out there, they're usually scooped up fairly quickly. So we've been, it's just a really good community, and we've been fortunate to have a lot of great players play FFPC Dynasty.
And with that smaller roster size, that keeping 16, I think that does enable you to even if the team is bad, to rebuild it quicker. And just back to the point on the how you're drafting with 16 players, or when you get to only keep 16 players, I should say, at the end of the year, that did make me a little more aggressive, where I'm looking for more upside guys personally. I don't know. Jeremy's probably looking for old people, but I like to win. I hear you. But when I'm making these picks, what I was thinking is I want the guy available with the most upside. There's downside to every player, but you know, if most of these guys hit their ceiling, you're in a spot where you're going to be okay. And the ones that don't, that bust out, well, I have to cut at least, you know, what is it, 4 to 5 of these guys before the year, you know, once next year rolls around, before March, I believe it is.
I think I approached it differently than you, because I was just thinking, well, first of all, the shallow rosters, and I'm comfortable taking a team where, and this is the same when I look at orphans. If I see an orphan that has Aaron Rodgers, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and David Johnson, and all the rest trash, that's the one that I want, because I have somebody that's marginally better at all those starter positions, and I know I can draft pretty well, and I can make some trades and build that roster up, and I've done that before. I typically don't go for the one that has a lot of maybes, but I mean, definitely maybes, but I go for more sure things, but I didn't always do that. I used to take more chances when I started playing Dynasty. I'd go for the guys I really liked. You know, Colin Kaepernick's available here. You know, I probably could get him next round, but I don't want to lose out, so I'm going to take him here. And I did that with wide receivers and running backs and went for guys that I liked. And as I played more and more, I realized that in a startup, I want to build a really strong team. And I think this, at first I was looking at this like, man, I don't know. I don't like my drafting strategy. These guys are killing me. They have all the running backs. And then when I was done, I was like, I'm comfortable with my starting lineup and I have some decent depth. I might be able to turn this into a contender this year and keep it. So I think maybe I just, in sticking to my guns like that, I may be able to compete with Shane. At first, I thought his team was looking really strong.
Real quick, so because obviously it's the FFPC, so all the rules are the same. We're in the exact kind of dynasty, the standard one quarterback. 1.5 point, you know, for the tight end, PPR, all that good stuff. So we could just every week compare scores and see who won.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Hey, man. As a matter of fact, it's a two-man league, $300. All right.
Oh, there you go, Jeremy. You're going to put up $300 against Shane's
Eric
team.
Eric and Kamish.
Against Shane, I will take that bet. Not against Eric or you, Mike, but against Shane, I will take that bet.
Yeah, and then what am I going to do? All right, Eric, you get to commish. I'll just sit back and do nothing. That's fine.
You're the witness. You're the witness. You're making sure that this is all on the up and up.
I'll actually be happy if Shane wins. As long as my team does well, makes the playoffs, it does okay. I'll be valid. Yeah, you can't compare every single team one off like that.
Yeah, but you're You're not going to be happy if Shane's team beats your team. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to be happy for my team, but I mean, I'll be like, hey, Shane, attaboy, you won, man. You finally won something. That's awesome.
I cannot wait till we're a video podcast and people can see Shane cracking up when you just said that.
His face turns red and he gets excited, Balkman. You haven't seen that, but he'll get excited. It looks like a little kid on Christmas.
Yeah, well, Eric, I know you decided to come sit in with us. So one of the things that we do is we talk about some trash Dynasty trades and we talk about trade alerts that we have in Dynasty. So there was a couple trades that we had that we were going to discuss tonight that there was one that had to do with FFPC, but apparently Shane already talked about that in the beginning. So we have a couple other trades that we were going to discuss. So if you'd like to sit in with us while we talk those over, that'd be great.
I'd love to. Sounds great.
Okay, well, we have a couple trades here that we were going to go over. So if there...
Oh, trade alert, whatever.
Fine. That's so unenthusiastic. But go ahead. What's your trade alert, Shane?
All right, so obviously I won't tell you what side of the trade I'm on, because anytime I do that, you guys vote against my side because you're horrible human beings.
We just all
not you, Eric. I just want that to be true.
Not true.
Yes. So we got a Derrick Henry in a, I don't even know how to say this correctly. It's a point per carry league, 0.2 points. But if I say 0.2 points, it sounds like, or whatever. It's 0.2 points per carry. So what's that, a two-tenths? Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
You got to carry it five times to get a point.
Whatever, that. for 2019 first and DJ Chark. And DJ Chark was the 209 draft pick in the rookie draft, if that matters to anyone.
Derrick Henry and what?
Nothing, just Derrick Henry.
Nothing, just Derrick Henry.
So I already know you got Derrick Henry.
And I like Eric's
you
face.
You don't know that.
Eric's face is all lit up.
It's just your reaction to this. I've never played in a point per carry league before, but I will say this, and you guys are probably, I mean, maybe you even know more about this than I would, but 2019 next year, from all the scuttlebutt that I read on the internet, is that it's actually going to be a very good year for receivers in the draft and maybe not so good for running backs. Like, we saw this was a very good year for running backs, maybe not so much for receivers. So it could be the opposite next year. So for this trade right here, this could actually benefit somebody who is lacking in the receiver department. You know, DJ Chark, say what you will about him, but he had a great combine. He played in an offense that for the umpteenth year in a row did not have a quarterback at LSU. And he actually put up semi-decent numbers for that. So I think, like, you look at his, you know, his height, weight, you know, it checks the boxes. The 40 that he ran at the combine checks the boxes. Did all right with the bench press. So I think that there's a lot of things to like there. And remember, Jacksonville traded up to get DJ Chark. And then you have, you know, no Allen Robinson there. We don't, you know, they bring in Dante Moncrief on a one-year deal. Chark could be a bigger part of their future. And then you get that 2019 first. So for a team that's looking for a receiver, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to give up Henry and kind of stockpile for the future.
Jeremy's shaking his head. Yeah, he's shaking his head.
I agree with what he said exactly.
So I concur.
And I was going to say I agree too. Concur. So, Shane, does that mean you didn't have the Derrick Henry side?
Of course I had the Derrick Henry side.
So we're keeping in tune with your stating that we always disagree with you. We don't
but
always
I, but I also, but I also will say stuff. I will also say about this too. Like, if you need a running back, Derrick Henry, I mean, could be like, I mean, I think he might be, and I'd have to check our ADP right now, but he might be drafted in as far as redraft goes as a top 10 running back this year, for sure top 15. So you know he's going to get a lot of volume there. There's no DeMarco Murray there, and you know, you'd like to think that Deion Lewis is not going to usurp Henry as the lead dog there. So Henry could have a massive season this year as well. So if you need a running back and you're trying to win this year, I mean, you can do a lot worse than Derrick Henry.
For sure, and he's young, and Deion Lewis is, you know, not, what is he, 29? I mean, Deion Lewis is not, even if he is the starter at first, that guy's not going to maintain it.
Wait, pop quiz alert. Yes. Pop quiz alert.
Yes, Shane, you want to talk about Deion Lewis?
Just real quick, do you know how many times he's played 16 games in a season?
Once.
Yeah, freak him once. Screw that guy, all right? He averages 10 games a season. 10 games.
Yeah, I like Henry too. Shane knows that. I just like that trade with Shark in the first, I think, a little bit better.
Yeah, the 2019 wide receiver class is deep. It's not even my first round draft pick. It's another guy's team first, who seems pretty decent, you know, assuming injury doesn't befall his team. So we'll see. If that pick lands in the top six, I'm going to be pretty heartbroken, because there's at least 6 to 7 wide receivers coming out next year that can be really good if they come out.
Yeah, if I wanted to ask Eric, you know, what are some of yours, or even if it's just a prevailing strategy for dynasty trades, what's something that you try to do that you think might be a strategy of yours, or a principle or something like that, that you borrow on in your leagues?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've always, I have never minded, you know, we talk about holding the bag on a veteran that, just seemingly, you know, everybody's ready to give up the ghost on him, and then he has another good season, and then another good season. So I think, like, I've never been afraid of, you know, holding on to a guy too long. I think I've changed my tune a little bit the last couple of years. And I'm trying to sell guys one. If I lose out on 1 year early, I'm fine with if I'm getting a younger player or a draft pick. I've been trying unsuccessfully so far to sell guys like Michael Crabtree, Greg Olsen. I did before the Cowboys cut Dez Bryant. I was able to trade Dez Bryant for the 201 pick this year, which ironically ended up using on Michael Gallup. That'll be a nice little story to tell if Gallup hits. But I mean, I think just like trying to be, you know, after many years of playing Dynasty of not worrying about if I end up having a guy too long, now I feel like I am trying to get that value and cash in 1 year, 1 year earlier, 1 year too soon rather than 1 year too late.
You became Bill Belichick over the years.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's probably the finest compliment anybody's ever paid me.
Get rid of guys before their value tanks.
Yeah, it's exactly right. That's and we'll see because, I mean, the example I always used over the years is Hines Ward. Like, that was a dude that I had everywhere, and I was just like, he's going to fall off a cliff. He'll fall off a cliff on my team, and he did eventually. But he had a lot of good years at the end of his career that helped me win dynasty titles. Another perfect example right now is Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that guy, I mean, granted, now we probably do know that this is it because it seems like he wants to hang it up, but that guy's been awesome the last 3 years, except for that one really bad year that he had. I think it was 3 years ago or 2 years ago. Other than that, he's been awesome. He's been aging great. So that's another guy that, you know, could make an interesting dynasty buy this year when you know you're probably only going to get him for 1 year, but it should be a very, very good year.
You know, and there's some players you end up, you're almost forced to hold on to because you can't get anything even approaching near their equal value, like Julio Jones and even Antonio Brown. If you're trying to sell him in Dynasty, it's just the guys get to 29, near 30, and nobody wants to buy them at anything remotely near the proper valuation for them. So it's, you're better off holding on to those guys. And you know what? Just, In some of the cases, I'd let certain players die on my team.
And I'll tell you this too. Like, I mean, I won't stop looking at deal. Like, if Greg Olsen comes out and in the first month of the season, gets like 2-3 touchdowns and he's catching, you know, 5 or 6 balls a game. Yeah, I'm definitely trying to move him at that point. Michael Crabtree is another guy, which I'm not too concerned with not being able to move him right now because I think he will be a pretty significant part of that Ravens passing attack. And if he's getting all these targets, and if he's getting, and if he's using them and he's tallying catches and maybe a touchdown here or there, he's a guy that I might be able to fetch like a late first, maybe an early round second pick. And Crabtree, I mean, we don't know. I mean, he's getting up there. Maybe this is it for him. Maybe next year he's going to, take a massive step back and then his value is nothing. So, I mean, these older players, like, even though you might not be able to move them right now and a lot of rookie drafts are over, you shouldn't stop. And this is another thing I'd say, too. You shouldn't stop exploring trade opportunities just because the season started. Like, still keep working the wires and seeing what you can get for them and get these ascending assets on your team rather than the depreciating ones.
I agree. You know, the one player, the one position that I tend to stick with and ride into the sunset is tight end. I held Jason Witten until the end. I'm fine with that. I mean, I was able to use that at a kind of a position of scarcity for a long time. Delaney Walker's a guy. You know, Shane just went after him. Any of those guys that are approaching that age cliff, I don't mind having them on my roster because they're going to help me win. And I'm probably not going to get a whole lot out of them anyway. And they're at a tough position to come by. Sorry, Sipes, I think I cut you. I turned into Shane on you. Sorry, buddy.
No worries. Yeah, no, that's fine. One thing I was going to say is one thing I found out over the last couple of weeks, especially with everybody having all these rookie drafts, is people are willing to do trades while they're doing these drafts. They want more picks. They want something to keep going. And when you mentioned Antonio Brown, I did a trade during the draft in one of my leagues this week, and I traded Marlon Mack and Allen Robinson and a 4th-round pick while we were in the draft for Antonio Brown.
And really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice trade.
That is a horrible trade. Whoever made that trade with you is seriously, what the fuck?
What I found out is he had sent it to a bunch of people in the league, and people were turning him down. And I was fine with doing it. But the one thing I see a lot of times, and whether we believe it or not, is people sit there and look at Antonio Brown. They say, oh, he's old. So they want to, especially during a draft, they want a pick, and they want players, and they want the young guys. So I was very happy to do it.
you could make a living, a killing, just buying veterans during rookie draft season.
Absolutely.
Because it is a fever. It's not even a fever. It's like a pandemic. It's like Ebola. Like, it just spreads and kills everyone. And I'm guilty of it too, because I do the same shit, and I undersold Antonio Brown in a league, and I don't even want to talk about it, because I look back now, and it was during the rookie draft, and you know, you look back now, it's like 3 months later or 2 months later, it was in March, and I'm like, what the f- did I do that for? But at the time, it's like being high. You're running around, you're like, I don't need pants, who needs pants? Well, it makes sense in the moment. You look back and you're like, you know what, you should wear pants at church.
And that's kind of the point too. It's like, if you can find somebody during these drafts that want more picks and want some player, not players, really want the picks, it's a lot of fun to do trades. I did so many trades during these drafts. And in another one, I traded the 2.04 for Alshon Jeffrey because I wanted a pick. So I did the trade. And you just got to keep your eye out for these players while we're doing drafts that really want that eye candy, my friend says. You know, he calls rookie picks eye candy.
And I'll say this too. The flip side of that is, once the NFL season starts, the draft, it's a total 180, because then you can get the draft picks real cheap. You can get second round picks cheap. You can get first rounders cheap. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's using that market inefficiency to your advantage and trying to acquire the veterans, you know, during NFL draft and rookie draft season when their value is low, and then turning around and trying to get those draft picks when their value is low, where you're trading for them in September or October and you can't use them until, you know, April or May or what have you. You can really build a dominant roster that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. We've talked about that on this show, how there's those periods of time throughout the year where this is the segment where you go after picks. This is the segment where you go after players. This is the time where you do things. And if you're only in that mode of give me picks, or give me players, you miss out on those opportunities that you can have during those segments of time, you know.
Well, you need to, after the first 3 weeks of the season, you find the teams that are, you know, undefeated. You look at the points for, points against, and you just target those dudes that, you know, your team's got lucky. You played the low scoring team every week outside of yourself. And then you're like, oh, I'll give you this guy. Your team's 3-0. Let me get your 2019 or, you know, 2021st. And, you know, that everybody that's 3-0 is dreaming of a championship. whether they should be or not. So just take their picks from them, because they don't deserve them anyway.
Well, the other trade we had on the list here was somebody traded Corey Davis and the 104 for Joe Mixon and the 111, 112, and a 2019 second.
That was a trade, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a big Corey Davis fan. I think this is a guy that is in for a bounce back season, a guy that, in my opinion, was just never right, not only during the NFL season, but the off season process too. I mean, that the period from when you're done with college football to getting into the NFL, it's that off season is so important. And he just was banged up the entire time. And I just feel like he never really got a chance to be the prolific receiver I think he's going to be. Now, when you couple that with Gibbon also up the 104, I mean, that's probably like, you know, Nick Chubb, Penny, Sony Michel, Geis, you know, one of those guys there. I mean, that's two significant players for me. But, I mean, you're getting two first-rounders back, plus a 2019 second, and Joe Mixon, who, you know, I I'm not the biggest fan of, but I know that they've improved their offensive line this year, and I certainly can't see him doing any worse than what he did last year. So this is an interesting deal. I don't know. I honestly, on face value, it's tough for me to pick which side I'd rather have at this point, because there's a lot of talent on both sides of the deal.
Jeremy. Yeah, it seems fair. I mean, it just seems like an even trade, depending on which way you want to go. You want that high first and Corey Davis. You want Mixon a couple late firsts. I mean, I don't think you can look at this one in a vacuum and determine definitely one side seems better than the other. Yeah. I feel exactly like Balkman does about, you know, Mixon. You guys know that. I'm not a big fan, but exactly. He's going to do well in that offense. So I think it's even. I don't know which side I'd take. It'd probably depend on my roster makeup, honestly.
So if this was boxing, this would be called what they call a unanimous draw. It pisses everybody off. When two refs have it 110 to 110, and then the other ref has it 137 to 102, and you're trying checking the math and you're like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, what do you say, Zach?
The problem is like you say, it's definitely roster dependent to be able to say definitively, I would take this side or that side. When you're in a vacuum, both sides have their merits. I mean, I guess if you have to look at what else there could be, I would guess I'd go on the Corey Davis side because you're getting the wide receiver and you're getting a running back, where on the Mixon side, you're getting Mixon and then whatever's going to be there at 11 and 12. But that's just not knowing the roster requirements or even what they have. I would probably go where I get one of each position player.
Well, I mean, with the 11 and 12, I think we've pretty much, there's a consensus of the which players you're going to get. It's a one quarterback league as well.
Oh, it does say that somewhere? I didn't see that.
No. I'm just mentioning that because I happen to be in this league and made the trade.
Oh, this is your trade?
Comes out.
Oh. Dude, I had a busy afternoon. I'll just say that. All right.
So again, we didn't even know it was your trade. You didn't even tell us. So which is you then? Who are you on this?
Corey Davis.
Yeah, come on. Dude, there's certain things. Like, I think anytime someone's trying to move Corey Davis, Amari Cooper, Derrick Henry, I mean, there's just certain players that, like, Sammy Watkins, like, it's just, I'm like the black hole. Those things get sucked into me. It's like, I don't even know. Like, they probably don't even mean to send me the offer. It just, they fat finger it and it comes over to me and I'm like, oh, all right.
I like hope Corey for Davis your happiness.
Well, then that goes against what you said earlier then, because right there, I sided with you without even knowing it was you. That was the side I chose.
The problem is I tell you I'm involved in the trade and you already know. It's like, I'm a bad poker player. I have a tell. Yeah. You're like, oh, is that a Corey Davis on his face? Yeah, that's Shane.
Well, I think we rushed into the everything tonight and I had no idea that was your trade. So, okay. So you did that trade then. So when I answered it, I answered it without knowing the requirements and without knowing the roster. So what do you have then?
What? No, I have Corey Davis in the 104 now.
No. What is your roster and your requirements? Did you need a running back? Did you need a wide receiver? Jesus.
I mean, yeah, I got
you
running
needed
back.
Corey Davis.
I have Jerick McKinnon and Lev Bell. And now hopefully I'll have Rashad Penny at 104. But don't tell anyone. And I don't know if any of those guys listen to this show. And if they do, thanks for listening. If they don't, go f*** yourselves.
I think they do. Everybody that's in any league you're in is listening to your shows.
Nah, dude, there's a bunch of people still that, like, I'll just not, like, oh, I have a podcast, but I'll just mention, like, well, no, like, tonight, earlier today, we're chatting, and I was like, by the way, I said, one of you sons of bitches, give me a tight end, because Hunter Henry's out, and I said, if you don't, I'm going to ask Eric Balkman to make it happen, because he's on my podcast tonight. Like, that's not like, oh, I have a podcast. Like, any doofus can have a podcast. You just plug something into the computer and start taping yourself banging your head into the wall.
Yeah, you know.
But, I don't remember what we were talking about. So,
I don't know, but I hope Corey Davis and Derrick Henry have great years this year, or you're going to have some bad fantasy teams, brother.
I'll tell you right now, if Amari Cooper, Corey Davis, and Derrick Henry, if more Amari and Corey have bad years, it's probably a shit season for me in a lot of leagues.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. So we also had a all right, so then let's do it then. All right, so ready?
All right, can you read that? Jesus Christ, that's small.
Small? Oh, no, it's too big. I can see it.
Oh, well. David Woods. I have bad eyes.
I could see the David Woods
it's
part.
It's moving
I
on me. I see Rosen. Danny Etling's on there.
All right, let's go ahead and undo
let's
that.
Talk about it. There
you
go.
All right, it's good. You can do it, Mike. You got it.
All right, so we're going to – we also had a trash dynasty trade offer that Shane had put on the sheet. Shane, do you want to tell everybody what it is from David Woods?
Is that what it is?
Yes, it is. So we have a trash dynasty trade offer from at David_Michael07.
Okay.
So he has Josh Rosen, who is the quarterback of the future. And by future, I mean week two of next season for Arizona. And someone offered him Danny Etling or Etting, whatever his name is. It doesn't matter. And a 2020 second.
Well, yeah. I like the best part about it for me is how he posts the Twitter. He's like, oh, is this good or should I hold up for a 2019 second round pick instead of the 2020 second round pick?
No, you did put SMH, which for the youngins or the youngs, whatever they call those people, means shaking my head.
Oh, thank you, because I didn't know what that was. And
no, I know you wouldn't. Yeah. So really, it's for the olds, the rents, as they call them.
Yeah,
so
he wasn't seriously going to hold out for the 2019 second. But yeah, this is a pretty awful offer. And this is a super flex, too. So Josh Rosen is obviously much more valuable in that format, too. And, I mean, this guy could be pumping gas in a few months. You know what I mean? Like, he may not even be on a roster.
He's playing behind Tom Brady. He's going to start somewhere someday.
He's probably pumping gas right now, preparing for his future.
And that's why we call it a trash dynasty trade offer, you know? Yes. All right. Fine. Go ahead.
To our Dynasty Trades HQ, the hashtag Dynasty Trades HQ pod at gmail.com.
It's a hashtag? Our email is a hashtag?
No, I don't know. So I think we asked someone for like a real 101 trade. Okay. I don't know. I say a lot of shit on these shows and I don't listen, so I don't really remember a lot of it.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to see trades for the 101 and they sent it to our email account.
Yeah, okay, Jeremy and I will clean it up. So go ahead.
So he did this before the NFL draft, this trade was made. So it was the 101, which obviously is freaking Barkley. For Christian McCaffrey, the 107, which was Penny at the time, and 205, which was Kerryon Johnson at the time. So that really turned out fortuitous for him, huh?
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I mean, otherwise,
just to see what people are getting for Barkley. For
otherwise, it's just the 101 for the Christian McCaffrey, the 107, and the 205. And there's some cities in America you get smacked in the face for that offer.
I'll tell you this, and this is something that I've talked about with some high stakes players. But if Saquon Barkley like busts, and he probably won't, he's probably going to be very good. But if he is some sort of Trent Richardson type, 2.0, like is just awful, there's going to be a lot of people out there kicking themselves for not accepting some pretty awesome offers that they probably got for Barkley. I mean, like you guys saw it. Like you looked on Twitter. Even before the NFL draft, when everybody still pretty much knew Barkley was going to be the 101, what people were offering for it was insane. Yes. I mean, like multiple first round picks over the course of like a couple of years, established veterans to get a piece of Saquon Barkley. I didn't have any 101s this year, but I think I would have loved to have just one just so I could have flipped it because I think I could have probably got a King's ransom for it.
I said the same thing. I would have loved to have been in that position. I was not. I would not have traded for the 101 because people were throwing so much.
I did that.
And stuff.
Well, we actually spoke about it on the show afterwards of some of the people that were being able to trade him away. Shane, sorry, I stepped on you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, as you guys know from being on the show with me every week, I'm one of those idiots that traded away way too much for the 101. Like, and people would DM me later, like, dude, really? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I couldn't help myself.
At one point,
Saquon, I can't help it. Like, I know this is a terrible thing to do. Like, the whole time, you're like, all right, I'll give him the 103. All right, I'll throw in Juju. I don't know if that's enough. I might want to throw in a pick from next year. And before you know it, you're talking yourself into just basically every decent fucking player on your roster for the 101.
On one show, you said you'd give up the souls of your children. I mean, you were willing to really go out there.
Yeah, but and I defended your children. I said, no, you wouldn't do that. But, it is funny because do you think now, we're a couple weeks out now, is the fever still there? Are people really giving up a lot for him or has that died down?
That's a good question. You know, as far as startups go, for the FFPC, he is still on average going as the second player off the board behind Gurley. Yeah. So, I mean, people still, and again, it's hashtag rookie fever. It's the fear of missing out, the unknown, everybody wants this guy because you know, we don't know how good he, we don't know how bad he could be, but we're more excited as we don't know how good he can be. I mean, if this guy is catching, you know, 70 plus passes a year, rushing for 1,100, 1,200 yards a year, double digit touchdowns every year, and you can get that for, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years, man, that's awesome. You know, you want that on your team. The question is, can he do it? And at this point, I would take, after I just got done saying I'm all about the upper echelon elite talent, give me that in dynasty leagues, I think at this point I might want to have multiple more proven assets instead of Barkley at this point. So I think there's a good section of people out there that are still willing to give up a lot for Barkley, especially when you consider that we have the FFPC has a ton of players like in that New York, New Jersey, you know, tri-state area there. So there's a lot of Giants fans, and that has not done anything to cool the Barkley heat. Like, people are still going after him hard in drafts and trying to get him on their roster. So I don't think it's going to die down. And if God save us all, if Barkley busts off like a 70-yard touchdown run in preseason, there'll be no stopping the train at that point.
Right? You trade him for every first that exists. Like, exactly, it'd just be a trade of perpetuity. Like, I'm trading this to, you know, sinkholes heads for every first round rookie pick they ever have. And everyone will be like, no, that makes sense. I understand it. That's a fair trade. So, just for reference, though, he did go 102 in my FFPC draft.
Oh,
right behind Todd Gurley. Yeah. Wow.
Behind Gurley, yeah.
So Shane, how many leagues did you end up getting him? Did you only just in that one where you gave away so much, or did you get him
out here? No, once you do it, here's the thing.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's kind of like drugs. After the first time you do them, it's a lot easier to do it again. So after you get that first trade out of the way, like, hey, I did it, you know, people made fun of me, but then other people also DM'd you and like, I get it. I love him too. I want to have his babies. And you're like, yeah. So, you know, I earned one of my 101s, and I, that rookie draft actually hasn't happened yet, which is funny. But the other three leagues that I actually have already drafted him in, I trade it for the 101.
Yeah. See, I know what you're saying about once you do it once. I did the same thing with DJ Moore. I traded a couple times, and then every single draft I ended up feeling like I had to get him, so I kept doing those trades. So,
well, you know what you got to do is get your leagues to work their rookie draft around you. You got to get them to spread them out so you have time to look back and go, wow, did I really draft Kerryon Johnson in 36 leagues? Like, that might be a little bit much exposure. Like, I need to move off of him.
Well, part of being a commissioner, I think I'm a commissioner of like 12 leagues now. I was able to spread out some of those drafts, that's for sure. And that very first draft, I look back at it now and I'm like, oh, crap, I can't believe I took that guy in the fourth round.
Real quick, Eric, I was just wondering, since we were talking about being degenerates, how many leagues are you in?
I was going to ask him that too.
You know, it's interesting is I just, I was thinking about this myself the other day, and I, for the last 3 years, I've been right around a dozen. I think this year I'm in 13, but I mean, it's May, so who knows what's going to happen until the start of the season. There's plenty of time to jump in new ones. I would say like the last 3 or 4 years, I've been right around a dozen. Before that, I had to cut way down, and I was probably only in like 5 or 6. And then ironically, I got married and had kids, and suddenly I had more time. So I started, it doesn't make any sense at all. But then I picked up a few more leagues, and now I've been gradually picking up a few. So I'm sure I'll be cutting down, you know, again in like 5 or 10 years. If this whole thing is cyclical, I'll probably be cutting down again. Right now it's right around a dozen. Dynasty and redraft.
Oh, so you do still play redraft then?
Yeah. I play a bunch of, you know, private redraft leagues and stuff. I mean, there's something about, like, I love Dynasty. It's great, but, you know, still getting in those redraft leagues, you know, in August or September or whatever it is, when everybody is fair game, you know, there's no keepers, all the rosters are completely blank. I do like that, you know, a strategy in trying to win leagues like that too. So both of those formats.
You ever play in a contracts league?
No, I'm not intelligent enough. I'll tell you this. I am in a 3 private fantasy baseball leagues, and we use contracts on there, and it's only 3 years. And I'll tell you, if it was like, if they ever shift it to like, okay, now we're going to use 4-year contracts, I'll say I'm out, because I can't, I like 3 years of contracts and trying to balance all that stuff. That's enough. Like, so. I don't throw in all this other nonsense. I'm not that smart. And, you know, I can count to three, but counting to four is a stretch.
Well, it just gets overly complicated is what
it
happens.
Can,
and then,
yeah,
and then it's not fun because there's just too much.
Unless you learn to control it, because I commission a contract league and there is so much that can go into it, but you can pull it back. You know, it's actually interesting because we've been doing this show now. What are we, 23 episodes, 24?
24.
I never 24. Asked you guys, Shane. Shane's rubbing his head, but are you guys in any redrafts? Because I'm not in any redrafts left.
A couple every year. I do like the charity best ball stuff and just I do them for fun. Like, you know, like Eric just said, it's nice to just start from scratch and be like, and then, you know, just like why we do startup drafts, I think, is because we miss that redraft starting from scratch. I don't know.
The only one I was with was the Scott Fish, but what do you have, Shane?
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't even count the best ball charity ones as leagues.
Yeah,
it makes me feel better about myself. but actual redraft, I think just honestly just one. It's like a 2-man keeper, so I don't even consider that a keeper league, to be honest with you. Yeah, so just one.
Yeah,
everything else is dynasty.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was awesome to have you here, and the fact that you work with FFPC and that's your thing, we wanted to ask you to do our little promo here for the FFPC instead of having Shane do it tonight or Jeremy.
I am happy to, and this is something I whipped up, so, you know, don't hold it against me if it sounds weird. But thanks, guys, for having me. And as a reminder to everybody who's listening, the FFPC is indeed the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football, draft from February until September, and live and slow drafts featuring standard, superflex, classic, dynasty, best ball plus formats beginning at $35 to find the right league for you. And beginning in May each summer, join the Football Guys Players Championship, a $350 entry fee contest that features a $2.1 million prize pool with a $250,000 grand prize, pays all the way down to 700th place. And for those of you who want to take your fantasy football game to the next level, draft in our main event leagues online in the comfort of your own home or live at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas this September. You can win a $250,000 prize or cash in a $2.2 million prize pool that will pay down to 100th place there. And of course, we got you covered for Dynasty Fantasy Football too. We have hundreds of leagues, none of which have ever folded, with entry fees from $77 all the way up to $5,000. No matter how you want to play, we've got what you're looking for at the FFPC. Check us out at myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com. The FFPC, the home of season-long high-stakes fantasy football.
That was awesome.
Wow, that's good. I'm glad you enjoyed that's what it should sound like.
Wait, we didn't sound like that anytime we read these.
I don't listen to the show, but I'm going to guess. No.
We did talk about our subjectivity with this. We talked about our own drafts and writing about these and just kind of, I think we did a good job though, because we had all good things to say about the site, the draft, all that.
Michael is going to keep that as a drop.
We're going to do that every time now.
Yeah, no, that was a great, yeah, that was a great promo. Maybe we'll hold on to that for all the future shows. So, again, Eric, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it, and we hope you had a good time tonight. And we will be out there in Vegas in September, so hopefully we'll all get together while we're out there.
Sure.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I look forward to it. Vegas is always a special time of year. It's always a fun time, and no better way to kick off week one of the NFL season than hanging out there in Vegas with a bunch of other fantasy football diehards, for sure.
Awesome. So we'll see you then. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, guys. Take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yep. See you out there. Thanks, man.
You bet.
No, that was great. And thanks, Eric, for coming on the show. So before we finish up and wrap up everything, we wanted to talk about our sponsor. GTBets.eu is the official sponsor for the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. And are you looking to get in on some action in today's games? Head on over to GTBets.eu for all your sports betting needs, with updated odds covering all your major sports. When this is a live, like, video podcast, it'll be so great when these guys make their faces. It was hilarious. But GTBets.eu will have you placing your first bet within minutes with their simple-to-use registration process. So listen, so go register now and earn up to $500 in free money. Simply add Trades HQ in the referred by field to get the highest possible welcome bonus. So, you know, if you guys want to bet, go out there, sign into the site, use our name and bet some money.
Yeah, please go bet some money. Sign into the site because the pod doesn't pay for itself. So if you don't do that, we might not be around too much longer. Just saying.
Oh, that's going to scare people maybe by saying that, you know?
The production costs on this show, the overhead is ridiculous.
Well, really. If we want to really put a value on my time, then yeah, you're right. It does cost a lot. Well, you know, and we've also been discussing a lot about our reviews, and after Shane's heartfelt plea to not give us bad reviews and give us some good reviews, we had another great review this week, and it's from 11 Toes. And 11 Toes
well, that's said, unfortunate.
Yeah, but he gave
I
us...
I only have 12.
He gave us 5 stars, and he said, good content, love that it doesn't take up a ton of my day, but filled with info. They love what they're doing, and it really shows. Very fun to listen to. And, you know, thanks a lot.
We do love it.
Yeah, we do.
We do love it.
You know, we try to have fun, and we hope it comes across to everybody. So great. So, Shane, you want to tell everybody about the Scouting Academy?
Yeah, the Scouting Academy. If you want to learn from NFL executives and coaches about the process of scouting, you can sign up for their discounted fall registration, or excuse me, you can be notified when the discounted fall registration opens. Their summer registration, excuse me, looks like it's actually filled May 14th, because yeah, that's passed. So their summer registration's passed on May 14th, but if you could sign up now to be notified when their discounted fall registration opens. Like I said, you're going to learn how to scout like a pro. You hear from Mike March, Jerry Angelou, Louis Riddick, just a bunch of well-known individuals in the NFL and in the football world. Learn how to actually watch the game with a scout's eye.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people can find if they go over to our website at dynastyfootballfactory.com. You can find the links to that. You can find the links to FFPC. You can find the links to all of our podcasts with the DF Network. There's a tab there on the DF Network, and it'll give you a link to all the different podcasts that we offer for everybody. And for us, you know, we always joke around about where you can find us, and I know we throw it out there to Shane. He tells everybody, but you know, most of you are listening already right now, so you know where to find us. But you can find us on any platform there is.
First rule of Dynasty HQ, first rule of Dynasty Trade HQ Club is that you talk about Dynasty Trades HQ to your friends. So this week's mission is to recommend this show to a friend or family member, whatever, someone that can download this pod and listen to us. If your kids have phones, I suggest you download Podbean on their phone or their tablet. Make them subscribe to this show because you want kids to learn about Dynasty football early. If you're a good parent, if you're not a good parent, I mean, that's fine. Don't let your kids listen to the show. I'm just saying, if you're a good parent and you actually love your children.
My son's 14. He downloads it on his iPhone and tells his friends, too. So, yeah, so that was great. So thank you very much for listening. And we had a great show with Eric, and it was a lot of fun. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Or will we?
I don't know.
Bye.